Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hi, hier sind Dana.
Und der Mönch. Und in dieser Energy Star Talk Folge sprechen wir mit Legende 50 Cent. Er hat uns unter anderem verraten, ob ein Remix geplant ist mit einem Energy Star wie David Guetta.
Und ob er sich vorstellen kann, eine eigene Halftime-Show beim Super Bowl zu spielen. Ganz viel Spaß euch jetzt beim Hören.
50 Cent, hi, it's such an honor meeting you. So, it's your last tour. How does that make you feel?
It feels good, man. It was the last time I'll be able to commit to a tour this big. Like, it's over 103 dates on this tour. I've been out since July. And like, everybody else is going home and going to bed for the holidays. Like, you know, like Beyonce, Taylor Swift, everybody's, Drake's going back to the house and then, you know, come out with new music and stuff. But I'm ready to, you know, I'll just run. I feel like I want to go everywhere that I've already been and some new places. So I'll go out and do it. This tour is purposely this long.
So you've been to Munich a couple of times. Have you seen a little bit of the city?
You know what? When I did come to Munich, I stayed in my hotels. Yeah. And it was so I didn't blow the idea of people coming to see me. But I did go and take photos in front of different landmarks the last time that I came. Yeah. And this is cool because this is like twice the size of the venue that I was in the last time I was here. It's like, it shows growth regardless if I'm releasing new material. It's just more interest, more people coming out to see it, you know?
The famous part of Munich is the Oktoberfest, you know that?
October.
Many beer and crazy people.
Yeah, everybody, they travel for it. Yeah. Like, they come for that,
From Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
They fly to Munich and have a good time.
Yeah, and it's still one of the, probably the best time for American artists to make their way out to get that big audience at one time and have everybody enjoy and appreciate it at once, you know?
You've been doing this for so long. What song is the song you're like excited to perform still?
Well, still in the club. Yeah, you know what? Look, that song is drilled into my head that I try to forget it and the words come out exactly the way they're supposed to. I've said it so many times, they come out like there's a, like every day is someone's birthday, so it becomes relevant again over and then, because it's a hip way to sing happy birthday to you. You got Stevie Wonder's happy birthday. You got the traditional happy birthday song. And the club is right there with that. So I watched the little kids get into it. The metaphors that I use in the music are kid friendly. Like, it's your birthday, candy shop, the magic stick. Like the adults know what I meant when I said it. But the kids here, candy shop, magic stick, and my birthday. I like 50 cents. Yeah. I like 50 cents. If you ask a 5-year-old, they go, yeah, I'm already into that stuff.
One of my favorite performance from you is from MTV. I saw it on TV. MTV, there was a spring break event.
Oh, yeah.
With G-Unit.
And I think
and
I was
Joe.
Climbing up on some stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, we went.
You did tonight this again on the traverse?
No, I'm not climbing up on the truss. I'm not climbing up on the truss. That was, I don't know what was wrong with me. At that point, I was...
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
This moment.
That time it was crazy. I was saying, what can I do that no one else would do if they came? Because insurance absolutely would not allow them to do it. And I just climb up on the things, and the people would look and go, oh, my God, I hope he doesn't fall, because the insurance is not going to cover this. Like, they would watch the whole thing, showing I do it anyway, you know.
I want to get to know it's a nice song, so I would jump on it.
So there is no remix of one of your songs with like David Guetta or Steve Aoki. Why not?
Oh, I don't know. David Guetta, Steve Aoki, they could. I think they played these records. They worked so well for them that they just play them. That they didn't change them because these guys are these are my guys. What you're talking about? Like that's the period that I came. They got hot in the same time frame. So. Like, as DJs, they're like I think you look to remix things that aren't quite right. Things that you can make better. A little bit, yeah.
And they better for me, though. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
37 like, years old, I grow up with your music.
Right, so that's probably why they don't have a remake of it. like they'll put pieces of it into their music and play the song, but they didn't redo the whole thing. Or like, you know, I'd get with them and see what we can come up with.
We will see.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Now your filming career.
Yeah.
So last time the Expendables.
Yeah, that was fun to do that. I shot that in Bulgaria, and it was Avi Lerner Studio, Millennium Studios out there. Mm. We worked on it. It's me, Stallone, Jason Statham, Megan Fox, yeah, the whole thing. But most, they're not talking about these projects because of the writer's strike.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, but by the time, you know, they want to pick the writer's strike. They want to have a writer's strike when my movie's coming out.
Yeah.
As soon as my movie's coming, they want to write a strike, right? They don't do it any other time. Everything's cool, right? They just want you to see my movie, right? Now, but I had a lot of fun shooting it and running around, and we was like in the wilderness with Stallone and all of them, and I broke a guy's finger on set while we was one of the stunt coordinators.
Okay.
Because I had to, like, you know, be rough. We had to, like, the action sequences and stuff like that, so things happen. I got a little something going on there.
A
little bit.
Are there any projects in the future you can tell us about?
Well, so much. I got a lot of things happening in film and television, and that's probably why I won't be able to commit to this long of a tour. Mm-hmm. But, they don't want you to talk about any of the scripted things or things that you have going because of the writer's strike and all that, and I just don't want to teeter too far into that area, and I'd love to tell you everything, and I don't want to tell you because I don't want to. They'll take the tape and say, look, 50 Cent is working against the WGA.
So you was the special act at the Super Bowl halftime show performance. So I think it's time for our own halftime show with you. So next year is Usher, and the year 2025 with 50 Cent and all the hits.
That probably won't happen because Roc Nation is organizing the NFL. So they didn't even want me there. They was acting like the NFL had an issue with me, and he wouldn't do the show if I wasn't on it. That's why you saw me at the Super Bowl, because he was like, nah, he got to be in it, and then they adjusted to it, because if there's no Eminem, the show is different. You know what I mean? Like,
no Dre, no Eminem.
Yeah, then Dre would have probably said, I don't care how much money we spend, it's okay, I just don't want to do it. And then it would have turned the whole thing up, the whole show off. But then it was great. I think it was a missed opportunity for the producers of it. Because whoever was a part of the production of the Super Bowl should have. We won the Emmy Award for the best live programming. There's no reason why you didn't bring that same group of artists back to do a different song. So it's not like everybody that was there did one song. You could have brought everybody back again and said, do another one of your very big hit records. And it would have been a complete different show with the same people. And it possibly would have been the second time they received the Emmy Award, because it was just there. You could see it. You know, it just, when things make sense, you could do it more than one time. But they just didn't think like that.
And then my last question. In The Late Show, you said something so iconic. I have in my ear every time I'm on a date. You were asked, who pays on the first date?
Yeah.
And you said, whoever's idea it was
to go on a date.
Yeah.
And every time I'm on a date, I'm like, does he know he asked me out? I hope he pays.
Because if he asks, if you ask the person to come, you should pay for the date.
Exactly.
You brought him out.
Yeah.
Exactly. On another time, if you're not, you got other things going, you're working at the radio station and stuff going on, and the girl says she wants to take you out, then you go, okay, cool, she's taking me out.
She's going to pay.
Yes.
That's obvious.
And she's saying that means she knows a place that she'd like to take you to for you to have an experience and enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you're not like, if she calls and says, we should go out, you should take me, but you never take me out. She's telling you to take her out. It means take care of it, too. Yeah, so it's already, Yeah, but whoever you should pay, excuse me, whoever's idea it is to go out should pay for it, I
yes,
think.
Exactly. Yeah. And I have this in my ear every time.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, do you have any kind of life advice or dating advice as iconic as this? Tell me something, please.
Well, I say there's no experts in life. So embrace the idea of you don't have the answer. And when you meet people, I think we give away the title friendship too easy, like saying a person's a friend of yours, and I think that they should earn that over time. Because really what you're talking about is companionship, friendship, before it becomes anything else. Like if there's no intimacy, if you just like the person, you just attract them, cool, and you really want to be friends with them and then be able to spend time, right? Share a part of your experience with them. And then the best people, or we say even if they were conscious of a business and they'd done extremely well, we would say that that man is a successful man and a good man because he's able to be a protector, security, and support for his family. But in tradition, that's the role of a man, right? And when he can achieve that level of success, it may only create a clear severance package for his companion. So it may only say, if we break up, I know I'm going to get $15 billion because you made so much money. And now I don't feel like you're paying me as much attention as you should be paying me. Now that I know I'll get $15 billion if we break up. Mm. So now we can't be friends anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's interesting because no matter how much you think you know, you don't know everything you need to know. Just in general, because I think when you can understand business and business works fairly consistent the right way. So when you get good at it, you start the progress and you can see how you're accumulating, you know, successful projects and success in different ways. But then people, they change. Like we're like plants. If you're not growing, becoming wiser, learning new things, then you're probably falling behind. Right? That means that you stand in the same space and the world just keeps moving forward. So you gotta figure that out. I think that's probably the most complex question to ask is to say, how do you, or what do you think about the like companionship, your friendship? Like that's the toughest accomplishment to have, because some people live better than others without, they may not have the money, they may not have the ability to go do all of these different things, but they have the right person.
That's a problem.
Yeah, so that they could be with that person. You know, I gotta be like, that's my high school sweetheart, you know, for a gazillion years. Like she's seen how many things with you, how many times did you go somewhere and just enjoy yourself? Like the laughter that you show at points, even without, we don't need money to have a good time. You know what I'm saying? I had some of the best times in my life with no money before the money is there. So you look and you say, sure, it does feel, it's the biggest restraint. Like, because you restrain through finance, it starts to feel like it's the biggest obstacle, right? When you're looking at, I think social media is showing you a presentation, showing you the best version of each person, and you see their things. When you see the things and they have shit you don't have, you look and you go, what? I don't have, it makes a person feel like they don't have anything.
Right.
You know, but it's just a presentation, man. I think what's really, it's interesting, I think that is the most complex question you could ask someone, is because the smartest guys that we know failed there. Right? You look and go, how many guys you know successful been married multiple times? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Two people.
Yeah. The smarter guys that you look, these guys are great, accomplished guys. Like they created these relationships and they weren't sustainable. So they had to pay. They had to split things up, like based on that. You know what I mean? So it says that they, I guess we give and take. Like when you get something in one area, you give away something in another. And pay for it a different way, you know.
Okay, 50, thanks for your time. It was an honor. It was amazing. And I wish you all the best. Thank you for your time.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.